If your belief is, I can only attract bigger, better opportunities in life if I burn myself out, your body literally will not feel safe attracting bigger opportunities. And don't get me wrong, like strong masculine traits, bravo, we love masculinity, like it makes shit happen. If that's the only world that you're living in, then you're constantly teaching your system that it's not safe to feel good, relaxed, to feel pleasure. That's why we've binge drinking, binge eating, moments of numbness, because we haven't taken the time to process anything. When we unwind and we relax into our being, it allows us to go from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset. Good morning, you beautiful beings. This is Helena, your host of Where Boundaries Is Always podcast. I've been sick with COVID. I do feel like this COVID situation was literally a wake-up call for me because I've been doing so much spiritual gaslighting, you guys. You don't even know if you're familiar with this. Like, spiritual gaslighting is like, no, but we're doing our meditation, but we're doing all of our practices, but somehow the mentality that you bring to your work is still one of, you gotta do more, you gotta be faster, and it's still not good enough. So the last few weeks have truly, truly been sitting with this topic of the productivity guilt, because I was dealing with so much productivity guilt when I was trying to rest. Like, if you've been there, it looks something like you get sick or you just feel like you need some rest. And then next thing you know, you're just barely allowing yourself to rest. And if you do, you feel really bad about it. You tell yourself that you're going to be onto it tomorrow. And all you can think of when you're resting is like all of the things that you have to do. And you just feel really bad. And so productivity guilt, even if you take time off to rest, it can actually feel counterproductive, where at the end of your, you know, whatever rest it was, you can still feel like not recovered. Like, our relationship to rest has to change, because like, rest is not just like I burn myself out and then I take 2 weeks off. Rest can happen in these micro moments. I'm even reading this book and it's called Rest Easy. It's like really been really, really insightful. It's by Ximena Vengochea. I'm going to be pulling some of the insights from this book because it's really just hugely impacted my mindset around rest. According to this book, your relationship to rest is based on your cultural upbringing, your childhood, your unique personality as well, and some of the experiences that you made in life. I've come to the conclusion my inability to rest, to take rest seriously, is limiting me in my growth. It's limiting me in the opportunities that I can attract. Because if you think about it, if your belief, and I want you to be really, really honest with yourself, because your body is going to think, well, hold on, I'm going to protect myself from that bigger opportunity because it means I'm going to burn out. Like, she will not, she doesn't think that those bigger opportunities, those better life changes, that she deserves that with ease, with lightness, that she deserves pulling them in, that they can just like, she doesn't believe in serendipity. She doesn't believe in the magic that sometimes happens in the world, because we're so stuck in the belief that we have to take on the extra load, take on responsibility, that we are in control of our ships, right? Because we struggle with uncertainty so much. And so the only coping mechanism that we have to deal with uncertainty, to deal with risk, to deal with lack of control in life, is to take control by overworking ourselves. Well, guess what? That lack of control has nothing to do with work. It's your relationship. It's how safe you feel inside with uncertainty. You keep perpetuating old cycles and like feeding into that distrust that you ultimately have within yourself when it comes to navigating uncertain waters. If you constantly push towards burnout, based on this book, they call that an anti-rester, this kind of rest profile. I'm going to read it to you. An anti-rester feels like busy is best. They feel like if they're not busy, they're being lazy. And they actually, if they're being honest with themselves, they don't even know how to rest. The more important rest becomes to your life, the more you will understand that it's actually the key that allows you to heal, right? Rest and healing are codependent. You can't heal if you're not resting. Like, think of a physical injury, right? There's no healing without resting. It's the same emotionally. And you're also going to learn how that this ability to rest is also your gift to manifesting the life that you want, right? And when you're resting, you're relaxing. You don't draw in new opportunities and manifest opportunities if your fist is clenched. It's only when it's relaxed that you can actually receive things in your life. You can receive new information. You can receive new perspectives. You can be curious. You can look at your surrounding with open eyes and your mind opens up. You become more receptive. You become tuned in to what's actually happening in the present moment. And you have the capacity to absorb that. And it feels safe. Because you're doing the healing, it feels safe to be in your body, to feel different emotions within your body, because you take the time to process those emotions. You take the time to understand your emotions. You're honoring your emotions. And it's also, rest is also a way to like understand and get to know your limits. Like, what are your emotional limits? What are your time limits? What are your physical limits? This is also just like, it's been a huge topic with my therapist. Like, she's like, you know, there's different boundaries that we have to set. And if you are constantly disrespecting your boundaries and your limits, and you're doing it because you're not even aware of your limits, you wouldn't even be able to like share them with anyone, then how can you honor them? How can you respect them? And I truly, truly believe that rest is the key ingredient that allows us to go from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset, to an expansive mindset, where we are slowing things down to actually understand, hey, what's the immediate next step that I need to take? What's that immediate next step that I need to take? Especially in the entrepreneurial space where you're constantly pivoting, it's really, really crucial to just focus on the immediate next steps ahead that you have. And in order to have the capacity to show up very present from a place of inspiration, from a place of abundance, from a place of expansion, where anything is possible, where you are actually in that higher level frequency where you can attract bigger, better opportunities, it becomes so, so key that you know how to build safety within and trust within. And that can only happen if you are giving yourself the time to rest. Because like, I think we take it too seriously when we watch like these videos on TikTok and Instagram, like, you know, the successful founders and the successful CEOs of the world and the people, the top executives of the world, they're just like up at 4 a.m. and they're grinding it out. They're like, you know, they have two workouts in basically, and they've speed fed the baby, and then they get to work and they're making all of these high level decisions, and like, get out of here. Like, I've led that life. I haven't had a baby, but I've like pushed myself, maxed myself out. Like, let's be real. Especially like, no one's going to tell me after they're 30 years old that they're traveling and that they're getting back to work and that they're operating at a high level of productivity. Like, get out of here. The lies that we believe, honestly, I don't think that that's possible. Unless you're on cocaine, then sure, but that's a whole other discussion. So again, like truly, if you want to attract the best opportunities in your life, it's going to be happening from a place of rest because it relaxes you. It allows you to connect to your heart. Like, why are you here doing this? Connect to your mission. Why does it matter? How are you going to go about it? I remember being at the office and talking to a colleague. I was working in corporate at the time, and he was like, yeah, it's pretty slow right now. And I was like, yeah, it's so weird. I was stressed out that it was being slow because I was just like, oh my God, I don't feel productive. I don't feel like myself. I don't feel worthy of this income if I'm not just like working myself to death, basically. This is a really unhealthy connection to work. And he was like, no, when you're resting, you're preparing for the busier times again. You're allowing yourself to regenerate. And I was like, okay, so how do you use these slow times? He was like, I leave work early. I go for a swim. I connect to nature. I spend time with my partner. And so the exercise that I would love for you to do is to connect to what else gives you meaning in life apart from work? What else makes you feel good about yourself? It's great that work feels truly like an outlet for my self-expression, but I've had to come to realize that that can't be the only place. The more we can detach from our work, the more we're drawing inspiration from other areas that can influence our work, you know, and influence who we are and how we feel. If like work is your only source of purpose, then that means that you always have to be working to be connected to your purpose. And that's so toxic. I used to tell myself, like, my work feels like a spiritual act. Everything I do and how I show up, I want to be of service to somebody. But if the only way you can do that is through working yourself, then you're burning yourself out. And in the end, you're not really helping anybody with it. So what are ways that fill my cup that make me feel whole apart from work? Then the next question is becoming aware of the patterns that sent you into overdrive. Something that's really helped me improve my relationship to rest is understanding my moods and what would send me into pushing myself into being busy again. I started to notice that whenever I had reached a point of, I feel my brain is fuming, my eyes hurt, I'm tired, that's when I start to feel frustrated. That's when I start to be anxious. And funny enough, those anxieties would send me into overworking. I had to understand that that moment of worry would send me into overdrive, when actually that moment was a signal, hey, I need a walk, or when's the last time I've had liquids, or when's the last time I've eaten something? And so inviting this new notion into your life that rest is not the vacation, it's micro moments in between, pockets of peace throughout the day when you are allowing yourself to regenerate. You can just like also somatically like feel, touch your body, make it feel safe. I've learned these techniques from coaches, but this can really make you feel held. If you're not watching this, I'm like crossing my arms and holding myself. That can really help you feel more stable within, feel that safety within, so that you can tap back into your curiosities, into a state of expansion, feeling good about yourself. Another trick is to start tracking your moods. There's apps for this. I'll keep like a notebook that's just for my emotions. And I just kind of will write down whenever emotions come up, then I'll kind of also write down where they came from. And that gave me like a lot of awareness around the different moods that I was going through throughout the day and what was caused them. I've also learned what makes me feel safe, and maybe this helps you, is after 3 hours, just to kind of recap all the things that I've done. Being like really, really clear, time boxing the elements, how much time you want to be spending on something, like what the goal is of something that you're working on. That gives me like a lot of inner safety, and my chatterbox just kind of really tranquilos. Those are the easy ones, because those are like during work, right? This book, Rest Easy, was also talking about discovering your play zone. My life for such a long time consisted of studying, and that's all I had. And then I would go to the gym and I would run, but I didn't do anything in my life that made me feel a sense of joy, that made me feel a sense of pleasure, that was just for me. Like, that was so hard for me to justify. Even in my relationships, it felt like, oh, I have to show up and I have to be there for my friends, and I have to show up for my family, because that's the right thing to do. I was living from a place of obligation and responsibility. And don't get me wrong, like your sense of responsibility, if you can resonate with that, like that's a great thing, right? That'll help you move mountains. It's helping you show up even when you don't feel like it. Those are great qualities to have. Very like strong masculine traits. Bravo. We love masculinity. Like, it makes shit happen. However, if that's the only world that you're living in, then you're constantly teaching your system that it's not safe, that you are not allowed to, that you don't have the permission to feel good, to feel relaxed, to feel pleasure, to feel joy. Right? That's why we go into these external overdrives with friends. We're binge drinking, binge eating, moments of numbness, because we haven't taken the time to process anything. Everything becomes so big and overwhelming. That's also like we're looking for love outside of ourselves. We're looking so desperately for love in relationships. We're looking for intimacy with partners. Like when I was single, oh my God, like I was like on the dating apps all the time, desperately looking for someone with whom I could feel intimate with, because I didn't know how to feel intimate with myself, you know? And that's what rest gives you. It gives you a sense of this is how I can fill my cup so that I feel a joy for life. So I feel pleasure in my life. And that's what truly that play zone can give you access to. I talk about it in The Dark Night of the Soul too. Like, you know, dancing for me is the place where I can connect to myself. For so many years, I did not allow myself to dance. It's so crazy. I look back and I'm like, wow, I was living in a prison. I was not allowing myself to do anything. That's why I would like binge eat, because I didn't have a relationship to pleasure. I couldn't just allow myself a slice of cake or just like some chocolate, because I would immediately feel guilty about pleasure. I still low-key struggle with that. So if you notice any extremes in your life too, like that's a good indication that things are probably a little off balance. And if you're deriving, you know, love and intimacy and play outside of yourself, then that's a good indication that you should probably take more time to rest, to heal, to get in touch with your desires, to get in touch with your emotions, to get to know yourself. Rest is a beautiful tool for self-discovery, right? Because when we unwind and we relax into our being, we connect to our emotions, we actually get to know our emotions. We're not constantly escaping them, right? And so it really, really is important to slow down, to discover ourselves. And like this play zone is really, really key. The book talks about what are some of the childhood activities that you used to really enjoy. For me, a huge one is riding my bike. Oh my God, on a beautiful day at golden hour or in the morning when the sun's rising or when the sun is setting, to be on my bike, to feel the wind in my hair and on my skin is just like one of the best things in my life. I feel happy. I feel like I'm flying. I feel like it's just the best thing in my life. I'm in Los Angeles right now. People be crazy on these streets. Like seriously, it's just like not safe. But I think I need to invest in a bike. Like seriously, because that's like a huge form of self-care. Write those things down in your journal and just like start reconnecting with that child. What did you enjoy doing? What were you doing? Were you running around with your friends? Were you playing? Were you reading? Also, I invite you to connect to what hinders you from doing that. Because for me, in my head, I used to dance so much and it was the place where I came alive in my head for so many years until I allowed myself to dance. But there was something that was blocking me. I just emotionally would not give myself the permission to dance. I always had an excuse. I was too old. I was too fat. I didn't look good enough. But the actual problem was that I was so afraid of failing publicly. I was dancing jazz when I was a kid, and my mom may have made a remark of like, I'm always offbeat. Not coming from a bad place, obviously. I just internalized that and I was like, I can never dance again. But you know, you really have to overcome that fear and say, you know what? I'm not dancing to please you. I'm not dancing to be attractive to you. I'm dancing for the sheer love of celebrating myself, celebrating my body, celebrating my femininity, celebrating my sensuality. It feels good to be a woman, you know what I mean? And the more activities we find that connect us with that, they just fill our cups. Something else that really filled my cup was like going on a meditation retreat with my friend and doing yoga and sitting in like women's circles. When women come together and they're vulnerable, it's just like, wow. When women hold space for each other, it's just so magical. Going on that trip with my friend was so beautiful. That's another one that really fills my cup. There's this section in the book that talks about nature by dose. The visuals are super cute in this book. It talks about if you spend 1 minute in nature, it drops your pulse, rest and digest mode is regenerated. So this literally, even just a minute, can like tap us out of fight or flight. If you spend 4 to 7 minutes in nature, your heart rate drops, your facial muscles relax. If you spend 15 to 20 minutes in nature, your blood pressure drops, your cortisol drops, and it boosts your mood. Like, that's crazy. 15 minutes. You go for a neighborhood walk that has a lot of trees, boom. Like, you've already contributed towards your longevity, because we all know what cortisol does. It's not good. So 45 to 50 minutes enhances your cognitive performance, enhances your vitality, enhances your introspection. Mind blown. Like, you know what I mean? Another really good one that they mentioned in the book, like, map out your ideal evening routine. We think that Netflix and chill is like the best way to unwind, but it's all, honestly, that's the lazy way to unwind if you think about it. Like, what's a more mindful and more conscious way, a more personal way for you to unwind? For me, it includes tarot cards, an unwinding meditative session. Another thing I want to mention, just doodling and drawing, and then just plugging in my favorite podcast or just listening to restorative beats without any lyrics. That will feel very restorative to me too. I wrote down showering as a form of like rest too. So anyway, find your play zone, find what fills your cup, write it down. I've even called it the self-care, self-love list. When we're resting and we're slowing down, we're able to tune into the present moment and what is arising for us right now. Rest will actually allow you to tap into a place of ease, of lightness, where we feel abundant and we're not trapped in a scarcity mindset. You deserve rest, and it actually makes you more caring and more curious. It makes you more tuned into the present moment. It makes you more loving. And most importantly, it just makes you feel really good about yourself. Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for sharing, for liking, for subscribing. It means so much when you do that. And yeah, let me know if you're like an anti-rester as well, if you've struggled with actually knowing how to rest and what this episode brought out in you. I'd be really curious to hear.